you've got it.
Why are you talking food and print about air?
Good question. Good question.
There has to be a third, you know, if he's going to go somewhere out with an analogy like this.
He's only going to give us, only give us
three,
the food.
Not two.
What do you mean, two?
You have to come out and say that there's an analogy to air, to breathing. There's something that's even more current.
Okay, breathing might not be such a good analogy because breathing is an unconscious effort. There's no effort. You don't got to do anything. So what's it going to be? The world will exist if you do nothing? Right? Eating, you've got to pick up the fork and you've got to put it in your mouth. You've got to use some effort. Breathing, it might be true in terms of the analogy, in terms of how often we need it. It might be a better analogy, but it takes no effort. What do you think of that? For an on-the-spot answer. For an on-the-spot answer, eh?
You're
consciously overriding reading. It's one function of your body, the other thing that you can override. There's also biofeedback. You can certainly volitionally force yourself to be quickly. So the same thing with food. If you consciously take what you do with your food, you also give it a higher fun, a higher purpose. So you could say that...
But breathing, you can't not breathe.
But you will
have to automatically breathe if you like it or not. If you want to suffocate yourself, you'll become unconscious first, and then you'll start breathing again. That's an automatic breathing. Breathing is automatic. Eating. If you've got to make the effort to eat. Of course, you can alter the how you're going to breathe, but it's not. But ultimately, the breathing is going to be continuous.
Yeah.
Eating. If you're not going to make the effort to eat. And there's a lot more analogies to eating. There's a lot more, we'll see. But it's got to be a constant effort every day. We'll see. There's a lot more analogies to that, which we'll bring later on. But that's the key point here. Let's go to the next page, Kuftes. That's what it says in Vayikra Rabba. Boruch inav shi'es Hashem. My soul blesses Hashem. The Medrash says, "V'chimara David lios mekalis benafshal Kadosh Baruch Hu." Why is he making his soul the thing that is praising Hashem? Elo Amar, he says, "Hanefesh hazu, this nefesh, meaning Hanefesh hazos eino cheles baguf." We know that this soul doesn't eat, but it's contained by eating. So to Hashem, v'Kadosh Baruch Hu ein lefanav achilo. The Almighty doesn't eat. But he's sustained by eating, meaning our mitzvahs. Similar idea. Just like the soul doesn't eat, doesn't drink, but still needs a human body to do that. Doesn't drink, but still needs the spiritual food and drink. Now, Reb Chaim analyzes this medrash now. Why does the Medrash specify eating and drinking more than other pleasures? Hishmiyanu zayinyanah, what is it teaching us? Shagam shanefesh atzma lo ocheles velo shasa. Just like the soul does not eat and drink. Im kol zehare kol ikar chibur hanefesh im aguf ke'echot. The main attachment, this will be another answer to your question. The main attachment of the soul to the body as one, v'kiyumo misper yomav haktsuvim, and the establishment for its few days, you know, its lifetime, hutoli al yirei hamachal shisaguf. It's dependent on the eating and the drinking. In other words, that's a conscious effort of the body to eat and drink. Alright, in other words, the body could do in the soul by just not eating. Again, not breathing, it can't make itself not breathe. The body can't make itself not breathe. So it's a given. The body is going to breathe, and the soul's not nervous about it. Okay? But eating and drinking is it's up to the body. And how the body eats and drinks is going to determine how long the body lives to a certain extent. Kainainian, similarly, in Kivare, Shalatmus, Oran Yochid, Ein Sof, Baruch, who certainly for the essential God, Ein Nogeh Chasvashom, Shumaisa, Mitzvahs, Vitarvara Klau. Torah, Mitzvahs, and prayer does nothing for him. As we said in the last chapter, it doesn't matter to God if you do mitzvahs, right? Kamosh kasav, as we said, right? You got to remember that idea. You know, the whole system is for us. did on Pirkei Avos class this week. The whole system is for us. It's not for God. Got to remember that. God gets nothing out of our Torah mitzvahs. It's all for us. It's just to perfect us. Right? That's how we explain the idea that the person shouldn't expect any reward. The Mishnah that says you shouldn't expect any reward. Why should you not expect any reward? Why? Because God made the whole system for us. You know, the parable we gave was that father wants his child to lose weight, he gets him an exercise bike, right? Gets an exercise bike for 6 months, he loses 50 pounds, he's healthy. The kid goes to the father and says, you know, I exercise for 150 hours. I want minimum wage for all those hours. Father's saying, who are you doing the exercise bike for? Me? It was for you. And you gained by it. It was all for you. I didn't get anything out of it. Right? That's the same idea. What are you talking about? God should give you rewards? What's God gave you rewards? Now, of course, the father's going to push him, he's going to order him and yell at him and scream at him and punish him if he doesn't go on the exercise bike. Right? Only because he wants to make sure he does it. The Almighty says, if you don't do mitzvahs, I'll punish you. And it says all these things because he wants you to stay on the spiritual treadmill. Alright? But the bottom line is, it's for us. We don't give God anything. And therefore, the reward, what are you asking God for a reward for? I mean, there are rewards, but when Antignus Ishsucha says, don't serve God for a reward, meaning don't serve God in expecting to get a reward for what you've done, because God's done it for you. Right? Right? A lot of people feel that way? When you're doing mitzvahs that are hard, do you think it's for you or do you think it's for God? I'm doing God a favor? No, God doesn't need this. God doesn't need your mitzvahs. You're feeding yourself. You're feeding the spiritual world. You're making the world a much better place, right? That's a very important idea.
You know, if you eat too much...
We're going to get to that. That's the next chapter. Or if you eat the wrong foods.
Right. You destroy the body prematurely.
That's right. The wrong foods. The wrong foods. You can never eat too many carrots. Well, you could. I guess you could.
I eat a lot of
carrots.
No, I'm saying... If you eat too much of the wrong foods, that's a good one.
No, I put it this way. You're right. You're now 100% right. If I give too much tzedakah, it's an avera too. If you give all your money away for tzedakah, it's a sin. I don't think any of us will have to worry about that. But the Talmud says if you give so much charity that you become impoverished, you're a sinner.
And if all the Jewish people study Torah all the time, then no one would be working.
Well, no, then the manna would come down from heaven. But that would be... That would be a different scenario. That's what happened. But basically, we're meant to do everything together, to do all things, everything in the right measure, right? And but there's a lot of similarities over here. Okay, but certainly you shouldn't exclusively eat only one type of food. Same idea. I shouldn't only do one mitzvah all my life, because that would be like eating carrots exclusively all your life and nothing else. It's not healthy either. The balance of so many different mitzvahs, so many different things, right? That's the idea. Ukamo, right? And therefore, so just to throw one more point at Pirkei Avos class we mentioned in it. So therefore, if all the mitzvahs are for you, now, it only makes sense that you should do the mitzvahs with enthusiasm. If I'm doing it for somebody else, I can see why I'm not so enthusiastic. But if it's all for me, then obviously I should have a lot of enthusiasm for it, because I'm the only one who's getting anything out of it. Right? So that's what he says. So God doesn't need your food. He doesn't need your spiritual food. It's all for you. Right? God's essence needs nothing to sustain it. Right? A soul per se needs nothing to sustain it. If you don't eat, the soul will be perfectly fine. It just won't be in your body. It's not that the soul is starving and had to leave. The soul says, you know, there's just no way for me to be connected to this body anymore, so I'll leave and I'll go to the soul world and have a great time. Okay? So God's saying the same thing. You want me to be connected to this world, you got to feed yourself. Feed the world so that I can be connected. Make sure you have a healthy spiritual body make sure the cosmic body is healthy, and then I have with which to interact with. Right? See, the analogy is really a beautiful analogy, right? You need to eat. Your body is, if your body's working well because of the food, now the soul can touch every part of your body. Every part of your body, your soul can reach. Right? You stop eating, the soul says, I get out, that's all. I'm fine. I don't need this business. Same thing with God. We do the right mitzvahs, we keep the cosmic body in good health, and then God will continue to interact within it. You don't want to feed it, God says, goodbye, I'm out of the picture. That's all. However, kol ikar inyan hizchabrusa yisbarach alamas, the whole connection that God has with the worlds, shemesudarim ke'echad, ketav nisarim b'chol ha'pratim every achila kulam, that is arranged in the fashion of a man with all the details, all the body parts, where the food gets into all of them, right? Gazer etzon yisbarach, the Almighty has decreed, she'etolib b'maseim ha'tovim shamalm kedosho. The nutritional values that come into the celestial structure of man, God decreed, can only be fed through what man, the Jewish people, do. Shehein hema inyan achila shesir shel olamos. They are the feeding of the world. All right? So therefore, God decrees that God's relationship to the world needs Torah and mitzvahs to sustain it. Okay, so here's the real good example now of the human being a parallel to God's relation to the world. That's what the prophets, how brilliant the prophets are to call man God. Call God man. Because exactly the way you eat, the whole idea of eating is exactly the way, and the way your soul stays within yourself. That structure stays viable. That's exactly the way the Almighty relates to the world. We need that spiritual feeding. That's what has to happen. And we derive benefits from that. We become the ultimate beneficiaries. If the cosmic body is fine, then we'll be fine. Right? So, and therefore, so all the spiritual food, lahamidam lakaimam, they stand them up and establish them, and add vigor and strength and holiness and light through the connection that God has with them properly, as the Almighty wanted. All depends on the abundance of activity of the treasured people. They're the ones who correct and unify the worlds. That they should be fitting to receive this light and an extra holiness from the Almighty. So just like food that gives increased strength into the body and gives it pleasure. So, what's he adding something over? He's adding a little something over here. Just like the eating is for life sustenance, that's point number one, but you can eat, that does more than sustain us, it can strengthen us, right? You could have food to sustain you, and you could have food that strengthens you. You could have minimal amounts of food, you'll exist, take multiple doses of vitamins and this stuff, you're going to get strong. The stronger you are, theoretically, the further away you are from death. And then, cosmic steroids, huh? And then the soul is guaranteed to be around a little bit more. Right? You have better quality food, the body will hang around longer, generally speaking. Similarly, the Torah mitzvahs, we give them a higher grade level of Torah mitzvahs, the feed will be a better type of, the quality of food, of the spiritual food, will let the relationship of God stay in the world that much stronger.
So how do we know which ones are we don't? Which ones would be stronger? Which mitzvahs would be more?
No. You do them all, but the intensity of how you do them, the sake of heaven, you do them all. The motivation, the concentration, that's what makes it better. Right? Just like you want to say this vitamin's got concentrated vitamin C. Right? This little pill, it's concentrated vitamin C. So my mitzvah is concentrated, more of my focus. I'm really thinking what I'm doing with that. That's a concentrated vitamin dose of spirituality. Okay? Now, it's interesting, this book over here, he says an interesting comment. He brings the Ramban in the beginning of Genesis that has a question like this. First man, I want to see if this parable is fully accurate. First man, before he sinned, did he need to eat or not? Before he sinned, what would have happened if man would not have eaten? First man, this is where Ramban discusses, if he needed to eat at all. So the Ramban writes, according to the opinion of many rabbis, that had man not sinned, okay, his higher soul would not have sinned, so his higher soul would have given him eternal life, and he would have been eternal, and would not need to eat at all. What? He's calling it the Neshama Elyona. The Neshama Elyona would give him life, which would have sustained him. And therefore, but you see, wait a minute, God says, eat from all the trees, but don't eat from that one.
Right.
He says that eating was only for extra pleasure. In other words, he would have existed as a human being on a very high level. You want to get extra insights, you know, eat a little of this, you'll be a little better, be a little stronger spiritually, whatever. But you could get by without any eating. That's what he first brings. Ramban himself adds, it could be even before the sin a person has to eat. But could be that those fruits before man first sinned would have been similar to like the manna. In other words, maybe he had to really eat, but the food would have been just like manna. Okay, he's getting into a whole other thing now, because where did waste come from, which we'll see maybe later on. But these fruits kept him around, would have kept him around. When he sinned and he was chased out, then he got all kinds of problems. Now the food, the quality of the food deteriorated. Evils mixed into everything, mixed into the quality of food as well. And that causes the mortality. The finiteness of the food is the finiteness within himself as well, and cuts him down. So it comes out, according to the second comment, the way the Ramban holds, very good. So the analogy of food to the body is consistent, even with first man. But according to the other rabbis, who say that technically man did not have to eat. So what's the analogy? So at least, even then, the analogy holds true, at least in terms of the extra pleasure. And that's what Reb Chaim was mentioning over here, that there is a concept as well, not only of sustenance, but the extra pleasure. So that could have been an eternal concept, the extra pleasure. But now we have both. Yes. The more you beautify a mitzvah, the more concentrated and powerful the dose is, and the healthier the spiritual patient is.
The more you study, the better you daven.
That's all there is to it, right? You want to buy good vitamins or bad vitamins? You want to buy, right? When you cook your vegetables, you overcook them, right? There are no nutrients in them, right? Got to do it just right. Got to do everything the right way.
The entire body is a digestion machine. You really want to look at it.
Yeah.
If we were created in the image of God, what was the purpose of all those additional body organs that would have?
Okay, each one's got another function. Everyone's got a different function. They've all got. No, I mean, you got to get into more mysticism to know how every single part is everything of this. It's unbelievable. We're just scratching the surface in this book. Everything. But if to give it more pleasurable, you know what I'm saying? Even according to the other opinion, it gives you more pleasure. I could live without eating, but if I eat, it makes me a little bit stronger. Still wouldn't eat it. Still wouldn't eat it. Then he adds another interesting point. So it would appear that the world would like not exist, right? So it's interesting. The Gemara says like this. On Shabbos, we say a special psalm that 26 times it says, Ki li olam chasto. Because God's kindness is everlasting. So how come there's 26?
the name of God.
So the Gemara says, well, Gemara says there were 26 generations before the Torah was given, and the Almighty sustained the world on kindness for 26 generations. What does that mean? It makes a lot of sense. Because if for 26 generations the world didn't have Torah, by right, there was no food coming into the system, so the world should have destroyed itself. This was a kindness of God. God gave IV for 26 generations. He put, well, yeah, but he put the spiritual IV in, although there wasn't any this human beings feeding the system. That's what it means. Olam chesed yibara. The world was founded on kindness. It was a freebie for 26 generations. That's what it was. Okay, you had your Avrams and your Tzaddikim sprinkled in.
I can understand but, that after the Torah, but they didn't have the Torah before. Then what did they have to really know?
So you know what? Based on that, just even the other opinion that says you didn't have to eat, first man have to eat, it would make sense, would fit into that. Because it was with kindness, then even in this world the parable would fit in. You see? So even according to the other opinion, it would still make sense. Yeah? What? Sorry.
So without the Torah, then man didn't know what to do. We didn't have that.
Yeah, but if you... But it doesn't matter. But if the world needs it and you don't know about it, the world would still... If the person didn't know he had to eat and didn't eat, didn't know how to... Didn't understand to feed himself, he'd starve to death and die. So if the world technically should starve to death and die. Okay. But God kept it going. God kept it going, even though the patient didn't realize what it had to do.
Is it physical illness when the neshama wants to leave the body?
I mean, it has to be reflecting of some problems with the soul. There's got to be some problems there. There's got to be some problems or some challenges or something. It has to be related with the soul somehow. Sometimes, if it's as a direct result because of that, sometimes. But there is some connection. Sometimes it's not meant to heal. You know, but that's part of it, but not the full equation. Now we skip all the small print. Well, what can I tell you? What can I tell you? The Kuf Yud Aleph, the third paragraph. That's what the verse means. L'chu lachmu v'lachmi. God says, go partake with my bread. Now what's God's bread? Right? Shaper Shu Raza. Rabbis explain it. And in the Raya Menusa, they say that God's bread is Torah. It's the Torah. And they refer to bread. Gemara Chagiga, when it refers to bread, it says there's 18 curses. The prophet cursed the Jewish people. One of the curses was... that there would be a lack of bread. And the rabbi said, what does bread mean? It means masters of the Talmud, people who knew Torah. So bread is Torah. When the prophet gave a curse to the Jews, gave 18 curses, one of the curses would be that there wouldn't be bread around. Isaiah, 18 curses. So the idea again, lachmi, there it says, you know, what do we say by... And the Torah also calls a korban lechem. Korbani lachmi, my korban, my bread. Right? God needs bread. He's eating the korban. Right? But that's the same idea. The mitzvahs are like the spiritual food. Kivyachal, as it were, lachmo yizbarach. It's like God's bread. Like it says in Parshas Ekev. Halchein shulchan ladanecha. Prepare the table for your master. It's like you're preparing a table for God to eat at, so to speak. Okay, next paragraph, precious Balak, same idea, talks about trees, you eat from the fruit tree. I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, but basically saying who's the fruit tree, it's basically the Talmud Chacham. And that's a fruit tree and sustains, so to speak, as if we feed God as well. Let's go to the bottom paragraph. And so the Magid said to the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he was privileged because he learned a lot of Mishnayos, he learned it well, he was privileged that a Malach would visit him every day and teach him secrets of the Torah. And all those secrets the Beis Yosef wrote in a work called the Magid Meisharim. So the Magid, the teller, told the Beis Yosef, Binyan HaMan, regarding the Man, the Kol HaNivraim Tzrichim Mazon, that all creatures, anything that's created, needs sustenance, needs food. What does it mean that everything needs food? Ba'afilu sviros, even the sviros. In other words, spheres are God's conducts with the world. Okay, the way God conducts himself. Even the sphere, the Malach said, even spheros need food. Alright? The spheros need the food of the Torah and mitzvahs that enact these conducts in the world. Okay? So he's saying the Inu Netzon Sricha Kivyachom Mazona, that even though these emanate from God, these things, so to speak, need the food. Right? Vaham is Zona the Sphira, and what is the food of the Spheros? Ihi Torah Masim Tovim. It's the Torah Masim Tovim, the Avdin Latato that we do down here in this world. So what the Maggid was telling the Beis Yosef, really, there's nothing in this world that doesn't need to be sustained. Everything in the world needs investment. It doesn't go on by itself. Right? Again, that's why air would not be the good analogy. Because air, taka, goes on by itself. But in general, you've got to do something beyond that. Right? You have to feed it in terms of relationships. Relationships have to constantly be fed. Can't just tell your spouse 20 years ago, I love you. Or once on Mother's Day, I love you. And once on the anniversary, I love you. No, relationship has to be fed. Every day, you feed your spouse a healthy dose of compliments and a big smile and a hug and all those things on a regular basis. Right? Just like, you know, you don't say, well, I ate 3 weeks ago, I don't have to eat anymore. No, you gotta, every day you gotta eat. Every day you've gotta sustain relationships. Our own development needs sustenance. Our own personal growth needs constant sustenance and constant feeding. Just like anything in the physical world, if it doesn't have constant sustenance, it won't grow. Similarly, in the spiritual world, even to the point of the Sfirot, the whole framework of the Sfirot, which is nothing less than the relationship of God with everything else, has to be fed. Has to be fed with Torah mitzvahs. Okay, we're almost done with the chapter. Okay, and then the Rayat Amemnana, in Mishpatim, it says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasa. The Jewish people are holy to the God, the first of his grain. Okay, so let's go to the brackets below. Skip about half the paragraph. The Jews are called like a big, strong tree and a sustenance that all comes forth from it. Meaning, in it, what? What's in it? The tree, the Jewish, what is it? Bo ha-Torah, in the Jewish people is the Torah, shimazon lamala, which is the heavenly food. Bo ha-Tvila, in the Jewish people is prayer, shimazon, which is also a food. Okay, so now see what's happening over here. Now, once we understand now, based on this chapter, that what we do takes on a certain form of eating and drinking that sustains the relationship that God has with his world, so one of those areas which this comes in very clear way is prayer. So now we're coming back to what this gate's all about. We'll finally come back to prayer, you know. But the critical points, he has to lay down the framework over here. And Rav Chaim is going to explain at great length how prayer is this food. Okay? But on a very simple level, as a person stands before the Almighty and recognizes the fact, if you ask from the Almighty, that you understand the Almighty is the one who's making an input into this world. And he's the one that's sustaining the world. And you recognize that Hashem is the neshama of the world. That alone makes the connection as well. Right? To realize how important if you appreciate the value of a partner in a relationship, that itself strengthens the relationship. Right? That point, whenever you pray to God, you're recognizing these facts. Alright, so it becomes prayer is that which bonds Hashem with the world. Therefore, prayer is going to be considered a very critical food in keeping God's relationship with this world. That's what the Zohar is saying over here. Okay, just about done. Fafila malachim, even the malachim ein le mazon el al yidei Yisrael. Even the angels are not sustained except to the Jewish people, again by the Torah mitzvahs and prayer that they do, justifies the existence for everything in the world, and the malachim are certainly very much a part of that relationship and how God manifests the relationship with the world. So the malachim need the food, so to speak, of the Jewish people's prayers, Torah and mitzvahs. Shimlo Yisrael oiskim b'Torah. If the Jews would not engage in Torah, they would not come the sustenance for the angels from that Torah that is compared to a tree. So la prishu mitzvah, and the fruit of the tree, which is the mitzvah. Torah is the tree, fruits are the mitzvahs that come out of it. Last paragraph, v'aramak, and Rav Moshe Kordoverozal, Rama Sa'inim the Sefer Elima, he hints to this idea in his Sefer Elima, who with Rav is a Sefer Shomer Munim, brother of the Sefer, etc., 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 etc. The Sefer Marim Zal, this is what it means, Yisrael Mefarnesim La'vim Shebashamayim, is the Jewish people are the ones who give food to their Father in heaven. I mean to say, if we don't feed the relationship, it dies. And that's chapter 6. What? Fred, make me feel bad. Make me think I talked for an hour for no reason. Right? Of course God doesn't need it, just like the soul doesn't need it. God doesn't need to have a relationship with us. He doesn't need the relationship. Okay? What word?
Daddy has to give him
You have to, because you got to keep the cosmic body running. There's no cosmic body, there's no venue for the relationship. That's all God says. There's no place for me to relate in this world. That's the way I set it up. I set it up that you got to keep the cosmic body healthy. If the cosmic body's not healthy, there's no place for me to get in. Because I won't be in here. I'll get out, and the world will cease to exist, and I'll still, nothing will have happened to me. Just like the neshama. Works the exact same way. Exact same way. So now, next week there's no class. Ooh, should have told you. Next week is the Eish HaTorah big event dinner and event after the dinner. So that's Wednesday, so I got to be there, kind of, sort of. I have to have a loyalty.
Maybe.
So there'll be no class that week. But when we, it's good we finish the end of a chapter. When we begin chapter 7, then he gets to what you were talking about. It's going to happen. Okay, so now the analogy is getting pretty clear. It's beginning to take shape, what's happening over here. The idea of blessing of God, bringing in more into the world. The analogy of man to God, body and soul, God and the world. Soul needs food. God needs food. The relationship needs food. Now, what happens now if you eat the wrong food? We're going to carry the analogy a step further. What happens when you eat the wrong food? What are all the ramifications? And then becomes, what if you do the wrong actions? What become the ramifications? Okay, that's chapter 7. And finally, we'll get to coming close to where the prayer fits into this scene. Now, I think there's one more sheet.